Hi, Patrick here, and today the language of business. Two takes. First, Indians and Silicon Valley. Second, jargon of the banking world. So first, we're headed to Cupertino, California, home base of Apple, which is one of the many Silicon Valley tech companies that are staffed by people from all over the world, but especially, famously, staffed by Indians, many thousands of Indians. Now, of course, the English that is spoken by Indians is pretty different to standard American English. There's a bit of a culture clash too. So, who is changing in Techland? Who's adjusting? Reporter Alison Van Diggelen, she went looking for answers, and she did it initially by going to a Diwali celebration, Diwali being the Hindu festival of lights. Here's Alison's report.
I'm here at the Diwali Festival in Memorial Park in Cupertino. The sun is shining and the Indian diaspora is out here in force. Indian boys and girls are dancing. Vendors sell vibrant clothes and crafts. Most women are wearing saris. Some men wear embroidered kurtas or tunics. But most wear the classic garb of Silicon Valley, jeans and t-shirts. I chat with Jasho Patnik, a software engineer from Eastern India. He says Diwali is more than a festival of lights.
A festival of spreading love. Love is not specific to Indian or to American or to British or to anybody. Love is love. Light is light.
For Patnik, Diwali and other Indian traditions like meditation inform his view of technology. Take the word avatar, a Hindu concept popularized by the blockbuster movie. It pops up all over the place, in computer sciences, artificial intelligence, and even robotics. Here's Padmasri Warrior, Chief Technology and Strategy Officer at Cisco Systems in San Jose.
Avatar is actually a Sanskrit Hindi word. It's a spirit taking a new form for something. For me, every time I see that word, it instills a sense of pride.
This spiritual influence from India has become embedded in the Silicon Valley culture. Of course, words like guru and mantra have been around in America for decades. But in tech boardrooms and coffee shops, expressions like coding guru and fail fast mantra are now part of the Silicon Valley vernacular. How about this one? Jungly is a Hindi word meaning wild or ill-mannered. It was used by a Silicon Valley startup that was acquired by Amazon. And then there are the cultural differences. In the Indian culture, it's hard to say no. Instead, according to Raj Oberoi, CEO of software startup Taligen, they obfuscate, often using what he calls the bobblehead gesture.
Indians have the unique ability to move their heads, you know, from left to right, and it looks just like a bobblehead on your, you know, car dashboard.
Does it always say no?
No, it can also mean a yes, which is what's so confusing. Is that a yes? Is that a no? Is that a maybe? Or are you having some neck issues?
During India's colonial days, the English language absorbed many words from Hindi, words such as jungle, juggernaut, and pundit. These words have migrated from India to Britain to America, but some well-educated Indians in Silicon Valley still talk in a stilted English of centuries past. Raj Oberoi shares some examples.
Phrases like do the needful or, you know, I beg to stay.
This old-fashioned talk sometimes leaves American colleagues in the IT world seeking explanations.
It's a rediscovery for Americans of a language that even in England is basically dying out. You know, it's more archaic. It's very formal. It's very flowery. It harkens back to the days of the Raj.
Cisco's Padmasri Warrior shares an example of Hinglish, a Hindi-English mingling that adds Hindi suffixes to English words.
Hey, did you go to the gym shim yesterday? That means, like, did you go to work out?
Growing up in India, Warrior describes how she was taught to conform. In Silicon Valley, her words and the way she thinks have changed.
If you close your eyes and say what words come to your mind, risk-taking, entrepreneurship, out of the box. In the Valley, we want talent that breaks the rules, creates disruptive innovation. These words have been added uniquely to my vocabulary.
What about the people at the back?
At the Diwali Festival, Jasho Patnik says Silicon Valley is a home away from home. And enlightened thought is the key to both computer programming and changing the world.
It is the way you think. That's where it starts.
It's true, enlightenment is coming from multicultural, multilingual India. But an American version of enlightenment is also rubbing off on the Indians who now populate multicultural, multilingual Silicon Valley. For the world, I'm Allison Van Diggelen in Silicon Valley, California.
Okay, we're going to stay in the business world now, but switch from Northern California to London, from tech companies to banking. And we're certainly going to move away from anything enlightened, because we're going to talk about business jargon. Yeah, yuck. The best defense against it might be to poke fun at it. So we're going to hear from Stephen Poole. He's the author of a new collection of modern-day business jargon. It has a great title, Who Touched Base in My Thought Shower, a treasury of unbearable office jargon. And a great place to hear about this from Stephen Poole and from others is Canary Wharf. That's the section of East London that is home to a whole bunch of UK banking headquarters, JP Morgan, Citigroup, Barclays, HSBC, a whole bunch of them. And the worker bees, some of them are pretty fed up with some of the lines the managers feed them, as they told the BBC's Justin Webb. Here goes with one of the very worst office cliches to start with.
Let's get the ball rolling.
Why? What is it about it you hate?
What else can a ball do?
Let's take it offline. Yeah, it's a great one.
Why do you hate it?
Because it's just overused.
Blue sky thinking is one of the ones outside of the box.
Are they used in your office, these ones?
All the time. All the time. I won't say the name of the company, but the bankers around here, they love their jargon, absolutely. It's actually the internal jargon's probably the worst, because you get really into a shorthand of it, and then you start using it with your friends, and they're like, what the hell are you talking about? What the hell are you talking about?
And using it at home.
And using it at home, yeah. But you don't realise, actually. It just sort of works its way into your lexicon, and you're like, oh, no, I've got to try and stop myself from doing it, and you just can't do it.
And all of that stuff collected up by Stephen Poole, who's also with me. Tell us a few of your favourites.
Well, one that everybody hates is going forward, to mean in the future. And the slightly sinister thing about going forward is the implied threat. You know, maybe mistakes were made in the past, that kind of passive voice abnegation of responsibility. So going forward, you'll forget about it if you know what's good for you. Yes. And it insistently implies a kind of thrustingly strategic progress, even though to most people's ears, it makes them feel an appalling sense of futility.
And some of it is PC. I mean, it is a feeling that we have that we are no longer able to say some things.
There have been some developments like that. The local councils of England and Wales in, I think, 2009, there was an edict sent out to them saying we're not allowed to say brainstorm anymore because that's offensive to people with epilepsy. So instead you have to say thought shower. Actually, the Epilepsy Association then surveyed all its members and said, do you find brainstorm offensive? And they said, no, not at all.
But we're sticking with thought shower anyway.
Well, I thought shower was made up. I thought it was one of these PC myths. But then I met someone who works in advertising and apparently they use it sincerely around their office.
And moving on from the PC side of it, you then get to the side of it that is slightly sinister and leads us into describing things in a way that allows us to be dehumanizing about.
Yeah, there's a lot of metaphors in office jargon that seek to dehumanize the lonely worker. So there's a lot of stuff that treats people as computers. Can I download this information to you? Do you have the bandwidth for this? Do you have the capacity? I'm not a hard disk. I'm a human being. But the tendency seems to be to strip people of their humanity and individuality and personal opinions and just make them docile robots. And meanwhile, another facet of the language is to deflect blame away from whatever the bosses might do. And you have to be very euphemistic. It's funny, in the office, you're never allowed to talk about a problem. It has to be issues, as though you're having
challenges, therapy,
and maybe you need to go away and work on your issues if you don't agree with what everyone else is planning to do.
And when you're fired?
When you're never fired, of course. You're transitioned, or your role is demised, or the company is resized, as though you've just sent a pair of trousers away to the tailors. So it's all about obscuring the violence of what the bosses are actually doing to people so they can carry on with a clear conscience.
Whose fault is it? Where does it come from?
A lot of it comes from business theory textbooks, which comes out of game theory during the Cold War, and then a lot of it got very popular during the dot-com boom. It's one of these things that's become this kind of maddeningly viral thing, so you can't point to people who are particularly responsible.
Let's get all our ducks lined up.
Let's all get our ducks in a line.
How often do you hear those things in a day?
Oh, many times a day. Oh. It's very corny. Very cringeworthy.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Must do lunch.
Must do lunch, yeah. So you must.
Oh. Jargon, it's everywhere. It's in our newsroom too. I mean, if you think that because I work in a newsroom that somehow we journalists don't rise above jargon and cliche, well, you're wrong. Your thinking about us needs to be just a little bit more robust, to use one horribly overused term. Well, anyway, I hope today's podcast resonated with you, dear user, whatever platform you listened on. Only time will tell. That's it. I'm done. I need to find a box I can jump in and think inside. Bye.